Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Friend Day is coming up on September 10th, and what we're probably going to look at doing there is maybe doing a family feast that day, and then just giving you some invite cards maybe for next week that you can start handing them out. And you don't have to invite the whole neighborhood, okay? Now, if Teresa wants to invite the whole neighborhood, we'll take them, Teresa, okay? All right? Okay, but you don't have to invite the whole neighborhood, but if you have a couple friends or people you've been just kind of reaching out to, that God's given you favor with them, and they don't have a home church, they don't know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. That's what we want you to key in on, and maybe even just be thinking and praying about that, and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God's Holy Spirit can guide and direct you into that and open up those doors. Amen? He is the chief strategist when it comes to reaching people. So that's what I want you to do. We're just partnering with God, saying, God, will you take it and use it? And bring people to you. All right. So y'all ready for the eclipse? Did you know we are just kind of right in the zone, right? Aren't we? And not only do we get to see the totality of it, but we have one of the longest stretches, about 2 minutes of totality, right? So you actually, during that phase, you can actually look at it without glasses. In my case, I'm still going to use these glasses, but without the special glasses, you can actually. But then once the sun, once the rays start peeking through again, you need to put on your protective lenses. So we're not sure what's going to happen out in front of our church tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to have it packed out because we're already seeing people from San Diego and other places that are coming here just for the eclipse. So they're expecting 20,000 people to descend on Crete tomorrow. So we'll see if that happens. So. Go grocery shopping today. Walmart will be bought out tomorrow, yes. You might be too late, Karen. So. All right, let's get down to Luke chapter 12 this morning. Luke chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 35 through 48. There's a parable in there, so we're in our series called Parables. And there's a three-verse parable in there that is an illustration for the rest of the verses that follow up to verse 48. And so far we've talked about the great banquet, we talked about the wise man who built his house upon the rock or the solid foundation. We talked about the unjust steward, we talked about Lazarus and the rich man. You guys kind of like that one. We talked about the tax collector and the Pharisee. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, starting with verses 35 through 38. So let's read that together. I'm reading out the New Living Translation today, which is a very user-friendly version. Okay, I really like how it reads, but it still keeps a lot of the accuracy from the original language, okay? And it just handles this passage of Scripture a little bit better. I was raised on the NIV, and that's what I usually preach from, but I'm going to go with the New Living Translation today just because of I think it comes across a little bit clearer today. Verse 35, be dressed for service. Keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. And I tell you the truth, he himself will seat with them. Put on an apron and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn. But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray that you would take it, apply it to our hearts, dear God. It is your word. It is quick, it is powerful, and it is to speak to us today. We give you the thanks. In your name we ask. Amen. Let's look at this a little bit closer this morning. In Luke chapter 12, the first part of it talks. It's part of from the Sermon on the Mount. I think Luke's is called the Sermon on the Plain. And if you go to Matthew's Gospel, it's the Sermon on the Mount, on a hillside, okay? So, but they both contains similar information, but he talks about not being anxious over the present. All right, what you're going to eat, what you're going to be dressed with, some of those things. He says, do not worry about those things because your Father in heaven loves you. Okay, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. So that is what kind of precedes what we're talking about today. And then he shifts to the future, being watchful about the future. And so he begins with this parable about be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning. So that's our first point in your program here. We're going to get to your first point. We're going to develop it here first a little bit. But our first point comes from those verses 35 and 36. And so the ESV has stay dressed and ready for action. Keep your lamps burning. I'm going to just read a couple different translations. King James is the best. It says, let your loins be girded about. So what is that one all about, right? Let your loins be girded all about. Okay, Isaiah, you know what that means? Let your loins be girded all about? You don't know if you want to know, huh? It means put on your, okay. All right, New American Standard. Be dressed in readiness. Keep your lamps alight. NIV, be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. And then the New Living, be dressed for service. Keep your lamps burning. So what's this about being dressed for service? Well, gird your loins is very literal translation. It's very literal. But what it means is have your belt on. Okay? Now, in biblical times, they didn't usually wear pants. What did they wear? Robes, yeah. They wore robes. It usually went down to the ground. They were loose-fitting because they lived in a hot and humid climate. It just provided a lot of comfort, and they weren't tight-fitting and very comfortable. But the only problem with that is if you had to run or if you had to work, those robes were constantly getting in the way. You couldn't work, right? And it could trip you up. And so what they would do is when they had to work or run or walk, they would also wear a belt. Okay, that's the girding your loins type of deal, okay? The belt, okay? It's a girdle, okay? All right? Did you know guys in the Bible wore girdles? It was part of their military outfit. So it has to do with the belt. And what they do is they have with that belt, then they could tuck in their robe, bring it up and tuck it in so that it wasn't getting in the way of their feet and their legs, all right? And in that way, they were dressed for service. They were ready to do what they needed to do. All right? Another expression is to have your boots on and ready to go, right? So, I don't know, firemen, if they're on call, they can rest, but do they have to be dressed and have their boots on? Is that, I don't know, is that right? No? They just have their boots ready and they just jump in them or what? I don't know. But what it means is, hey, you can take a nap. The master's coming back. You can take a nap. But you better have your boots on and your loins girded, okay? You have to be dressed and ready to service because when he knocks at the door, you need to be ready. Now, the other expression he gives is let your lamps be burning. Does anybody remember the days before electricity? Joyce, do you go back that far? You remember the days before electricity? Not that old? Who does? Bob does. Okay, all right. So you'd have a lamp. Now, you have two options there. When it comes night, you could just turn off your lamp, totally just turn it off. But a lot of times, they would just trim the lamp, right? You'd take the wick down and just leave a small flame. That way, it didn't light up the whole house. It was dim, so you could rest. But also, if something happened, like a storm like last night, you wouldn't have to be fumbling in the dark to find the matches and to find everything. You just would turn the wick back up, and you'd have light. Keep your lamps ready. And so both expressions are illustrations talking about, hey, the master is coming back from the wedding feast. He's going to knock on the door, and you need to be ready to serve him. Okay? You need to be dressed. You need to be ready. You need to have the lamps trimmed so that you're ready to serve. And the application of that is that who's the master? Jesus, right? And he is coming back for his people. And Jesus is saying, you know what? You have to be ready for when Christ returns. We have to be ready. We have to be watchful. Waiting can be dull and unexciting, can it? We had to wait in a couple lines yesterday. Marshall's, Texas Roadhouse, so we went someplace else. Waiting is not very fun, is it? And Scripture hasn't called us necessarily to wait. It's called us to be watchful. And there's a difference between waiting and being watchful. They both involve a time, but watchful means that I am looking with anticipation, with expectation that something's going to happen. Because our Lord and our Savior is going to come at any moment, at a time we do not expect. If I'm waiting, I'm just kind of just counting, you know, I don't know, what am I doing? I'm dancing, thinking about hunting, daydreaming, right? Maybe wasting time. It's not a productive time, but when you're watchful, when you're ready, you're anticipating, you're expecting your master to return. If you don't think your master's going to return, you're probably, the house is a mess, you're not dressed, you're not ready, because, he's not going to come back. Not today, anyway. And so then you kind of put it off. But when you're ready and expecting somebody to show up at any moment, you have the house ready. So, okay, companies come into your house and say, hey, we're going to be here at some time. They don't give you a time, all right? We all have relatives, neighbors, friends that do that, right? Hey, we're coming, but we're just not going to tell you when, right? Okay? And so if you want to have the house ready for when they come, you can't put it off, right? You have to have it ready because you don't know the day or the hour that they're going to come. And they're going to knock at the door. There's a difference between waiting and expectation and being watchful. Your first point is we are to be expecting the soon return of Jesus. We are to be expecting the soon return of Jesus. The Assemblies of God, their official position is the imminent return of Christ. Imminent is a word that means it's going to happen. Okay? You can just guarantee that the second coming of Christ, he's going to come for his church, it's going to happen. The only thing is we don't know when. We don't know the day or the hour. Now, with the eclipse, right? I'm surprised I haven't heard more about that, yes. The eclipse, they have it down to the second, right? In the minute, right? You can pull it up and they have it illustrated where it's going to be in your area. You just punch in the zip code, right? Okay, how many saw that on Facebook, right? They have it down, the science down. We know when the eclipse is going to happen. As long as there's no clouds, we'll be able to see it, right? We don't know when the day or the hour when Christ is going to come for his church, for his people. And it's imminent. It's going to happen. We have to be watchful and waiting for the return of Christ. And he gives another illustration in verses 38 and 40. If you go down just a little bit further in your Bible, it says, he may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn. Whenever he comes, he will reward his servants who are ready. Understand this, if a homeowner would have known exactly when the burglar was coming, he'd have been waiting with the shotgun. No, it doesn't say that. It does in the New Living Translation. No, it doesn't. He would not permit his house to be broken into. You must be ready at all times, for the Son of Man will come when you least expect him. And so there again, another illustration. A thief does not break in when somebody's expecting him. They break in unexpectedly. And so the illustration is that Jesus isn't going to come necessarily like a thief, but he's going to come at a day and an hour that we don't know, and so we have to be ready. You know, we don't hear a lot of teaching on the second coming of Christ or the rapture. I'm not sure why. When I was young, growing up, it was all over, and I remember watching the movies, the Thief in the Night movies. How many remember those? Okay, you have to be a little bit older, right? I think you could maybe even still find them on Netflix, I think, if you search for them, Thief in the Night. They're really kind of cheesy, and they're kind of not the best quality, but they're there, okay? But I remember watching them, and they scared me half to death. And I remember coming home one day, and nobody was there. You know, I thought they should have been there, and nobody was home. And it's kind of like, I missed it. Okay, I was scared to death. Okay, all right, it was not a good thing. Well, they were. One was there. One was someplace else. You know, and I lived my early years in a lot of fear. Because I thought that, you know, if I ever sinned and Christ came, I was done for. And I think as I've matured in my Christian walk and understanding the grace of God, I've realized that it's not necessarily that I have to be walking with Him. That's what's important. Am I going to have ups and downs? Yes, I am. The important thing is that I'm walking by faith and I stay in His grace and I stay close to God. And if I'm doing that and I'm ready and I'm watchful, I'm doing what He's called me to do, when He comes, that trumpet sounds, I'm going with Him. Okay? Whether it's in the middle of the night or whether it's during the day. There's just a lot of illustrations in the gospel. It says that two will be working at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. There's a lot of illustrations that way. The key is that we are ready. We don't want to be caught off guard. We want to be living our life for God. And so we're going to look a little more at what that means. Just look at our second point found in verses 37 and 38. It says, the servants who are ready and waiting for His turn will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, He Himself will sit with them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and they eat. He may come in the middle of the night or dawn. Whenever He comes, He will reward His servants who are ready. Now, this is where the story takes a big twist. A big twist. Why? Because who is serving the servants? Who? The master. The head person is serving the servants. That never happens in a Middle Eastern culture. The master would never serve the servants. That's why Jesus, when He illustrated servanthood, He took a towel, put it around His waist, and what did He do? He washed His disciples' feet, right? It's like Peter says, no way, God. No way, Jesus. You're not washing my feet. Jesus says, you know what? If I don't wash your feet, you're not going into heaven. He goes, okay, wash my feet, wash everything, right? one extreme to the other, okay? Jesus says, just the feet is just good enough, okay? All right? And He washed His feet. And so Jesus showed Him what servanthood looked like. And then here we see that when the Master returns, when Jesus returns, He's going to sit down and serve maybe some of the banquet food. He's going to serve them, and He's going to serve those that were faithful and that were ready for when He returned. And your second principle there in your program is that those who are ready will be rewarded. Those that are ready will be rewarded. Those that are ready will be rewarded. He is going to come back for His church, and He will reward those who are ready. You know, last Sunday? We had communion, yes. We had communion last Sunday. What we call the Lord's Supper. And Jesus said, when in Matthew's Gospel, 26, 27 through 29, I'm just going to read it for you. It says, then He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is the body, My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you, where? In My Father's kingdom. And then you go to Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 10. And it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb, where when the rapture takes place, we are gathered to be with the Lord in the air. Sherry read that. We're together with the Lord in the air. And Revelation 19 talks about this marriage supper of the Lamb. Who's going to be there? Jesus, right? He's going to be the master. He's going to be the head person. And everybody that has accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and our Savior will be at this banquet. And I just think it's kind of interesting in this parable how the master is going to serve those that have been faithful. And it seems to kind of tie in with all the end time things of what we see in Revelation and the Gospels. That wouldn't that be cool that we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb and guess who's serving us? Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be just weird. It's kind of like, you know, you're not just having anybody serve you. You're having the Master. You're having the King of Kings and Lord serving you. He's going to reward those who are faithful. The second point is that those who are ready will be rewarded. I want to go to the third point, verses 41 through 48. Peter asks, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for anyone? Okay? So Peter liked to ask questions. And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one whom the master can give the responsibility of managing another household's servants and feeding them. So, okay, a servant is the idea of stewardship. You don't own the property. You don't own all the things, the livestock and the house, the equipment. You don't own all that, but you're a steward. You're responsible for it, and you take care of it as if it is your own. Okay? So a good steward would take care of it. A bad steward would let it rust, wouldn't take care of things, wouldn't feed the livestock, would keep up the yard. Because, the master may return, maybe he's not, I don't know. But they just let everything go. But a good steward would take care of it as if he was his own, understanding the master could return at any moment. Verse 43, if the master returns and finds that a servant has done a good job, there will be a great reward. Verse 44, I tell you the truth, the master that will be put will put that servant in charge of all he owns. So he's going to be given more responsibility. He's going to be put in charge of everything. Verse 45, but if the servant thinks, my servant won't come back for a while, and he begins beating other servants, partying and getting drunk, woohoo, right? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces. Interesting. And banish him with the unfaithful. Not a pretty picture. And the servant who knows that what the master wants but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out the instructions will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will only be punished a little bit. In other words, you kind of didn't do the right thing because you didn't know any better, okay? You're still going to get punished, but not severely. When someone who has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. What is Jesus getting at? He said, you know what? We're all going to be responsible for what God has entrusted to us. We're stewards. Whether it is financial, the financial resources he's given us. You can say, I don't have a lot. Be faithful with what you got. Get a buck, give God 10 cents. Gives you 1,000, you give him 100. You're being faithful with what he has entrusted to you and honoring him. If he's given you 1,000,000, what is that? What's the tithe on that? Come on, help me out. 100,000, right? Seems like a lot. But if you get 1,000,000, not a bad deal. It is being faithful. If he's given you a lot of talent, wow, some of you got talent up here. I think you all do. God's blessed you with talent and gifts. What are you doing with it? Are you keeping it to yourself? Are you using it for God's kingdom? Time is a good commodity, isn't it? How are you using the time that God has given you? Are you watching Netflix any chance you can? I do some. But how are we spending our time? Are we using it for God's kingdom? Are we using it to further him? Are we being faithful with what he's entrusted with us? A faithful servant is one that does what the master expects. They carry out the responsibilities that God has given them. An unfaithful servant is one that is a poor steward of those resources. And so expectation leads to readiness and faithfulness, but unbelief in the Lord's return leads to complacency and unfaithfulness in what has been entrusted to us. And so your final point here is that faithfulness is not success, rather it's obedience. It's not necessarily success, faithfulness. Faithfulness is all about being obedient. Okay? So with our boys, often we would leave to go someplace and we'd leave them a list, right? Okay? I didn't expect them to do everything. I mean, if they wanted to do a bunch of things around the house, great. Okay? I wasn't expecting them to develop a business plan or anything like that while I was gone. All I was asking them for them to do is do the things on the list, right? And to have it done when I got back, because I'm going to return at a day and hour, you don't know. Sometimes they have it done, sometimes they don't. That's what God expects out of us. What has God called us to do? What has He called us, as we are waiting and expecting the Lord's return, what has He called us to do? Help me out. I don't have anything in here. What has He called us to do? What's His list of things that He's put on that note for us to do until He returns? To love others, okay? What else? Love God, okay? What else? Praise the Lord, worship Him, okay? Help people in need, yeah. Okay? Share our faith with people that need to know. Use our gifts and talents to further God's kingdom. There's a lot of work that God needs to do until He returns. You know, in the coming weeks we'll show a video, but did you know there's still a lot of people groups in our world today that have never heard the gospel presentation? You would think with all the technology and the world we live in, there's still people that have never heard the name of Jesus or gospel presentation. Do you think God has called us to do that? He has. There's a lot that He's called us to do. And He hasn't called us to do all these other things. He's called us to be faithful with what He's given us and the things He's laid out for us. The purpose of this parable that Jesus gave was to help the people, the disciples, those He was talking with, to be ready. Because the Lord is going to return at a day and hour we do not expect. We have to be ready. Now, I could use this and make you all fearful like I was growing up. It's a good motivator sometimes. But I don't think that's what God wants. I think what He wants us to do is to be anticipating, looking forward to the Lord's return. It shouldn't be a fearful thing. It should be something that we're excited about. Have you ever been expecting company that you're really, really excited to see? Right? You're just waiting for them to, you know. Kids are really good at it, right? They're waiting for grandparents to get there or maybe something like that. And they're just looking out the window, right? And they're just kind of bouncing off the walls, and finally the company comes. That's anticipation. That's expectation. And I think that's what God wants within the body of Christ. That one day He's going to come. He doesn't want us to be fearful, to live in fear about that. He wants us to go about what He's called us to do. Because He may come today, tonight. He may not come for another 10, 100 years, 50 years, 1,000 years. Sure, it seems like some things have changed in the last 10, 15 years, even the last couple years. They could maybe say, you know what? The Lord's return is near now, much nearer now than it ever was. But we don't know, right? Some people have tried to predict it, right? I was kind of waiting for that to happen with the eclipse. I haven't heard too much talk of that. But nobody knows the day or the hour. If somebody thinks they have that inside track, they don't. I think there are going to be things that, as Christians, that are going to say, you know what, my return is near. Just like a woman, she has those pains, right? Also, you don't know if they're Braxton Hicks or if they're the real thing, but it's kind of like, all of a sudden, I think it's getting close. I believe that those that are watching and waiting and expecting Him are going to know His return is new. His near. It's close. Amen? I don't believe He calls us to fear. He wants us to live in the graces that He's extended to us, to be faithful stewards of what He's given us, and to do the work He's called us to do. And so that when He does come, and we go into eternity with Him, we don't have any regrets. We praised Him as well as we could have praised Him. We lived our life to glorify Him. We put our hands to the plow, did what He called us to do. And then when we stand before Him, there's not going to be any regrets, any shame. It's just going to be well done, good and faithful servant. That's what every one of us should want to hear, is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my Father's kingdom. Amen. praise, God. I want to just close us in a word of prayer this morning. And I hope that everyone here has made that commitment to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you haven't, I'm going to give opportunity here this morning as we pray. I'm going to lead us in a prayer that articulates that. I believe if you mean it with your heart, it begins the journey to know God as your Lord and your Savior. So let's pray together. Dear God, would you come into my heart and into my life? Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you cleanse me from my all unrighteousness and be my Lord and my Savior? And allow me to be ready for when you come again. Amen. Victor and Yolanda, if you'd join me up front. Josh and Karen, if you're able to. If you have a prayer or need request this morning, they will be here. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I encourage you to make your way and just communicate that to them and so they can pray with you and help you on that journey. We want to just help people in that journey to know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. But I pray that all of us here, even those that have served God a long time, it's easy to become complacent. It's easy to become just kind of, we're drifting along through life. Life is good, you know, the bills are paid, and life is just going along. And, you know, I've asked Christ in my life, but it's easy to become complacent and to think, you know what, God isn't going to return for a while. But we don't know that. He's called us to be ready and to be watchful. The boots on, the belt on, the lamps trimmed, to be ready. And I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer that question yourself. Are you ready? If that trumpet would sound and Jesus would return. And I'm not going to be there standing with you. It's going to be you and Jesus, all right? Have you been faithful with what he's called you to do? Amen. Would you stand this morning? We're going to close with that chorus, Even So Come. And just talks about a lot of what we've just covered. Those words, Even So Come, it just kind of capture that, Lord, we don't know the day or the hour, but come when it's your time. As the moon and the sun and the earth are lining up tomorrow, like 1 o'clock, all in alignment. There's going to be a time where everything's going to be aligned and Jesus says, now's the time, I'm coming back. And so, Lord, we pray that you would come in your timing. And Lord, I pray for those that have, their hands have been to the plow and they're weary, they're tired. They've been doing your work, but they're weary. Lord, I just pray for your strength. Lord God, that in our serving you, Lord, we can get burned out, we can get tired. I pray you'd renew us. Renew us, give us your strength. And Lord, those of us that have been sitting on the sidelines, that it's time to jump in. Use the time, the talent, the treasure that you've entrusted to us to speed the Lord's coming. The Gospels say that when all people groups, all nations hear the Gospel, your end will come, your time will come, and you will come. And Lord, we just pray that you would allow us to be diligent, to be watchful, to be ready, expectant for your return. And let us be diligent in what you've called us to do. And when you return, you're going to gather your people. And those that have been faithful will be served by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We'll be served salvation. We'll be served eternal life. Joy. No more pain. No more suffering. No more tears. All will be wiped away. We give you the thanks this day, Lord. Let us go into our world and see it through the eyes of eternity and your soon return. Let us be the presence of Christ here on earth. With all the people we come in contact with, just give us your Holy Spirit just to be used by you. Bless us this week. Bring us back safely next week. And allow us to be the fragrance of Christ. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Find a few hands. What are you going to say? Are you ready? Say, are you ready? Are you ready?